Shalom. This is Stefan Yah, and I'm reading from the book Freedom Under the Law. It says, in the Declaration of Independence, the American Founding Fathers declared that all are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. This philosophy did not come from our secular society. It came from reading the law of Yahweh, or the first five books of the Bible. Yahweh laid down for all time the rights of man. No one has ever guaranteed these rights any better than Yahweh himself. If mankind had lived by the pure scriptures from the beginning, most if not all our troubles and disputes would never have existed. We have rampant runaway government in the U.S., and as I write, the lawmakers in America are in the process of removing many of our liberties. And one of them is property. Another of them is freedom of speech. We need to return to the laws of Yahweh to retain our freedoms. The law of Yahweh also contains his covenant of love. Most of the mankind does not know how to love. So I encourage you to read all of this book here, about the American Declaration of Independence, and where it came from and what a blessing it is. Said there in page 13, the whole Torah of Yahweh is constructed around certain prohibitions, leaving everything not prohibited free to do. Exactly the same way American laws are constructed today. The laws of many foreign countries define only accepted behavior in their laws, leaving all else prohibited. Under both the laws of America and Yahweh's Torah, that's in the Bible, the first five books, you are prohibited from destructive behavior, and you are left free to express your Yahweh-given creativity. By only prohibiting certain behavior, the Torah guarantees liberty. In the next three chapters, we'll explore these three great freedoms. The law of life. It was the Creator who personally put life into the first man. He goes into a little bit of Hebrew there, talks about capital punishment. I'm fast-forwarding here. Let's go to page 20. The Torah is true. Yahweh guarantees our life in his perfect law. Over and over again, he commands us to choose the behavior that will protect, preserve, and sustain our life. His laws, Yahweh's laws, show us how to have fulfilling, meaningful, abundant, and prosperous life. He promised that if we would live by his laws and commands, that he would give us long life. For simple obedience, he has promised prosperity, good health, and his personal blessing. He is the Mighty One of life. He is our Creator. And so far, it might seem a little too simple to most of you, but we're just warming up here. The chapter, The Law of Liberty. Galatians 5, it is for freedom that Yahweh has set us free. He quotes that, goes into that. Did you know that you have permanent written legal permission from Yahweh to take the seventh day of the week off from work? Every week in perpetuity. Theologians will tell you that the time off is bondage, or at least most of them will. I think that they need to actually work for their living. While Americans want to disown our Constitution, which Americans? Well, I know of one who's the head of the U.S. government in 2010. The document that guarantees our rights as American citizens, who thinks that the Constitution is bondage? I can think of only one. We like our rights. We like our legal protections. Most people have never read the book of Leviticus. It is an amazing book. The rules that define sexual immorality are in Leviticus 18, also Deuteronomy 22, by the way. Now, the days to celebrate as pure to Yahweh are in Leviticus 23. The dietary laws in chapter 11. We're having so much trouble these days with cancer and heart attack, so if we followed that, that'd be a good step. The laws of bodily cleanliness in chapter 15. We're going to need those laws when things fall fall apart. When things get really bad, we're going to need those laws in large cities where there's going to be great epidemics. Many people through the ages would have been spared much pain and suffering if they had lived by the contents of the book of Leviticus. It's not just addressed to the priesthood. It's, as a whole, it's addressed to the people. And it says to Israelites. And okay, somebody will say, I'm not an Israelite. So then, if you must be Greek, because that only there's only two categories. There's the Gentile, that's the Greek person, and there's the, no, well, some still disagree with that. Think of the freedom from disaster, like the Black Plague of the 1300s, or the millions who have died prematurely from disease due to poor hygiene, or cancer, or the millions who have died from heart disease and stroke from eating the wrong foods. And, of course, that leads to cancer. Leviticus is the central book of the Torah. The book of Leviticus is full of practical rules for daily human living and conduct. The only thing that Adam is not free to do is to take from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. My comment is, he never touched the tree of life, but he should have. But he was not free to take from that tree of knowledge of good and evil. We know that. So we're scooting ahead here. Talks about the seventh year off. If that is bondage, sign me up. We work ourselves to death literally, like bees. We fight with our employers over all manners of grievances when all we really need is a little time off. And think about the employer, too. Let's give him the seventh year off as well. If that's bondage, sign him up too, okay? That's freedom under the law. Reading here on page 26. Thank you for joining us on YahvehYahweh.name and .com. And in Deuteronomy 7, Yahweh will not afflict you with horrible diseases, but he will inflict them on all who hate you. In other words, if we will walk in freedom, then Yahweh will bless us with abundant national prosperity. That's a no-brainer. His laws define our freedom. Yahweh gives us freedom from political and religious tyranny. If only we would walk in his laws to obtain our liberty. Blessed more than any other people. It's pretty strong language. Live by the Torah of Yahweh. It defines love toward your neighbor. It defines proper conduct. It spells out your rights. Yahweh promises to bless you for obedience. If that were not enough, Yahweh also promised to make everyone happy and healthy. I like healthy. I don't like spending my hard-earned income and treasures on medical payments, Bill Schultz writes. We're all in agreement there. Page 28. What is in the Torah that is so hard to do? The Messiah took away the sacrificial law. We don't have to execute judgments on the Canaanites. All we have to do is live by the rules for human conduct and become prosperous beyond our wildest dream. Yahweh has filled the Torah, his teaching and instruction for all of mankind on how to live with great freedoms. Some of those he specified in Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount. Now we go into the law of happiness there. Okay, 32. Is not the borrower servant to the lender? What is bondage? Man's way is bondage. We need to return to our living mighty one, Yahweh, and serve him in freedom. Sin, by the way, is the transgression of the law. Yahweh did not create us to be miserable. That's the devil's foolishness. Yahweh is not mean or harsh. He's full of style and favor, but that is the story of another book. Yahweh, in all his great love for all of us, provided for happiness in his law. Not only did he guarantee our life and liberty, but he made provision for us to pursue happiness. And then he would bless us if we live by his law, so that happiness will pursue us. He has granted us the capital to live our dreams. He offered to bless all the works of our lives so that our lives would be productive and fulfilling. He gave us times of rejoicing and celebration, supernatural times that have his joy and his spirit added to our festivities. This law of Yahweh is a law of love, and it's a law of joy, and a law of peace. Why don't we return to Torah, his teaching and instruction, today, and turn this mess that we've made of the world into something really worth living? Our free land is the beacon of hope to billions of people yearning to live in freedom. We need to tell them that our cherished ideas of freedom came from the scriptures, what is commonly called the Bible. We need to tell the world that Yahweh of the Hebrews granted all humanity, the freedom to live as they choose under his law. Washington, in his farewell address, said, "The very idea of the government, of the power and the right of the people to establish government presupposes the duty of every individual to obey the established government. Yahweh has established and guaranteed our liberty in ways we still don't fully understand. In my view and in Yahweh's, that obligates us to live by his laws and commands. Every day, Christians claim the blessings of obedience and then declare that their disobedience is proof of their salvation. That is utter nonsense. Yahweh promised blessing for obedience." And he's going to go through some scriptures to prove the point. He talks about the prosperity and health in the U.S. We attribute this to our human freedoms to live as we please, to pursue our dreams unfettered by the government. We think that our prosperity comes from the accumulation of the nation following their dreams, of all of us in this nation following our dreams. That's where our freedom and prosperity comes from, is commonly thought, but not so. How much more could we achieve if we unleash the power of Yahweh's blessings by following his law? Deuteronomy 6. These are the commands, decrees, and laws. I wish we were reading King James here. It's more powerful. These are the commands, decrees, and laws that Yahweh directed me to teach you. I think it's commandments, statutes, and judgments. And to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and your children after them may fear Yahweh, your mighty one, as long as you live, by keeping all his statutes and judgments. It says here, decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as Yahweh, the mighty one of your fathers, promised you. His laws give us life and life to the full. His laws perfectly guard and establish our liberties. A reading from the book Freedom Under the Law of Yahweh. Page 43. When one takes the throne of his kingdom, he is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of this law taken from that of the priests or Levites. Deuteronomy 17. And then disputes, Deuteronomy 25, and I'm moving on here, moving up to higher ground. Freedom under the law, page 49 now. Law versus grace. Pastor Bill, what about grace? I'm asked this all the time. Now, for grace, I'm going to substitute unmerited favor. Oh, thankful that we are under favor. But does that mean that we can sin? Oh, it goes back and forth all the time on the radio there, Christian radio and books and tapes. Yahweh is the mighty one of grace. Yahweh, the compassionate and gracious Yahweh, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Exodus 34. It's never been a license to sin when you tell me that your disobedience to Torah is proof of your salvation, I will not believe that you are saved. The snake is the one who told you to disobey Yahweh. When you obey the snake, you're serving the snake. What then, shall we sin because we are not under law but under favor? By no means. Don't you know that when you are offering yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness? Romans 6. But Pastor Bill, we are saved by grace. I'm told often, Ephesians 2:5. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Yes, we have been saved by favor. What do we need favor for? We needed favor because we sinned, and the penalty for sin is death. Romans 6. And then the word antinomian. Bill will define here the Greek word for law in that passage is nomos. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. 1 John 3. So the Greek word for law there, sin is lawlessness, and whoever breaks the law, that are the Torah. Greek word in the New Testament in 1 John 3 for law is nomos. The word nomos is always used in your New Testament for the law of Moses, or the law of Yahweh. But some of you know the law of God, but anyway, we're using Yahweh here. The Greek word for lawlessness is anomia. So whosoever breaks the law, in fact, sin is lawlessness. There, anomia, the Greek word, always used for transgressing the Torah. In other words, sin is Torahlessness. Torahlessness. Anomia is translated the mystery of iniquity, spoken of by Paul in 2 Thessalonians 2. Since we have all lived in Torahlessness at one time or another, we all need salvation by favor. By unmerited favor, yes. And most people call that grace. Yahweh's payment covers your past sins for all time. The Creator came to die for us. And the letters of the Apostle Paul are a graduate school level discussion of the contrast between unmerited favor for our transgressions of the Torah and the scriptural injunction to live by every word found in the Torah. Paul's letters do not negate your need to live by Torah, but rather they highlight the power of favor, of unmerited favor, to save us from our transgressions of the Torah. If our theology does away with the Torah, then we will no longer have a need for the offering, what's commonly called the sacrifice, of Messiah. This will cause us to neglect the mercy found in asking for forgiveness. We must first see our transgressions in order to realize the need to ask for forgiveness. We must first see our transgressions. We must first see our sin. Then we go to page 51. Alright. We talked about his mercy there. About Yahweh's mercy, right? Well, you can find out more by reading all those letters, those beautiful letters of Paul. Or you can, just scan all the way from Genesis to the Revelation. You'll find out about mercy, Yahweh's mercy. Oh, he is so merciful. In the book Freedom Under the Law, page 53, we're going to address these things. He says, neither my law-keeping nor yours will ever earn any human being the right standing with Yahweh. We turn to Yahweh in repentance, and he will grant us mercy. Repentance from what? Transgressing Torah. How do we repent? Just saying, help me, Lord. No, we have to understand what we have done. We must be willing to go back to him and his Torah and learn how to live right. We must live by Torah. Matthew 4:4, we must live by every word that proceeds out of Yahweh's mouth. And he is the word, John chapter 1. We were created in the Messiah to do good works, Ephesians 2:10. These works are the same works that cannot save us, the works our works of the law are not good enough to qualify us for salvation, but they are required as proof of our salvation. We were saved to return to the Torah and to live by it. We were not saved to go out and live a life of sin. We were not saved to live like the disobedient. We were saved to live like the Messiah. He lived by every word in the Torah. And he expects us to behave like adults and go to the Torah to govern our conduct. We have all sinned and deserve death. We are all saved by the mercy of Yahweh without any work on our part except the work of asking for forgiveness. It is just my opinion, but I think that people who reject the law of Yahweh are trying to earn their salvation. They are trying to earn their salvation. When they read the Torah, they think, I can't do that. They are right. But rather than acknowledge the rightness of Yahweh in his Torah, and then humbling themselves to ask for forgiveness, they want a lesser standard. A standard that they can attain by their own efforts, so they will not have to ask for mercy. Yahweh will not lower the standard. And let me give you an example of that. Smoking, swearing, drinking, and dancing. You know, if we were to just abstain from those four things, maybe from immorality as well, and abortion, okay, so those two more things, then we'd say, oh, I'm without sin. I've confessed all my other sins about judging people, and so I have nothing left to confess. I'm perfect, huh? Well, of course, then they say, well, I know I'm not perfect. It's just my heart, you know. I know my heart is perfect. Well, that is just the problem. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who could know it? That's from the book of Jeremiah. I believe you find that there in chapter 7. Now we're almost through with this part of the review of Freedom Under the Law by Bill Schultz. I love the law of Yahweh very much. I strive with all the power of the Spirit to live my life by Yahweh's love. I realize that my law-keeping is not good enough to please Him. And then on page 61, the yoke of sin. Let me see. I don't want to miss anything. It looks like I've got a lot of notes here up until then. And we can go back later. But the law of circumcision versus the Torah. Let's see here. I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obliged to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from the Messiah. You've fallen away from favor. But by faith we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. In the Messiah, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You're running a good race. Who cut in on and kept you from obeying the truth? This kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in Yahweh that you will take no other view. I'm reading from Paul's letter there of the book of Galatians. Do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature, rather serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. That's Galatians 5. One clue is in the phrase, freedom that Messiah has set us free. That's in verse 1. The yoke of slavery comes from sin, which is the transgression of Yahweh's law, Yahweh's Torah. Law of Moses. They're all interchangeable. See Luke chapter 2. Freedom comes from living with Yahweh's law. Romans 8:7. For the carnal mind is not subject to the law of Yahweh. Neither indeed can be. So the mind that is not carnal would be subject to his Torah. Every citizen in the free world should understand that. It is no different in religion than in politics. And the other clue is, and who kept you from obeying the truth? Yahweh's word is truth. John 17:17. Thy word is truth. The Torah, in Yahweh's words, spoken to Moses face to face, is summed up in a single command. A sum is composed of many addends. The statutes, judgments, decrees, and commandments in the law of Yahweh are all summed up in love. Yahweh is love. So it should be no surprise that the sum of Yahweh's law is love. See 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Now here's how to get a hold of this book. It's, I think including postage, it was $10. And you could probably even borrow it for free from giveshare.org. This book is published by Hungry Hearts Ministries, P.O. Box 10334. That's P.O. 10334, Jackson, Tennessee, 38308. That's 38308. And right now, having a problem with the Hungry Hearts website, I see. So we'll just give you, because it was hungryheartsmin.com. But anyway, the website where you can get this book is giveshare.org. That's G-I-V-E-S-H-A-R-E, giveshare.org. And I just go to their store there, and you can either buy it or borrow it. Wish you happiness, peace and joy, righteousness, peace and joy in the spirit and the Ruach HaKadosh. Enjoy the law of life, the law of liberty, and the law of happiness.